The three men under sentence of death had shallow emotions regarding their own fate and that of their victims. Guilt, depression, and remorse were strikingly absent. Such individuals can be considered to be murder-prone in the sense of either carrying a surcharge of aggressive energy or having an unstable ego defense system that periodically allows the naked and archaic expression of such energy. The murderous potential can become activated, especially if some disequilibrium is already present, when the victim-to-be is unconsciously perceived as a key figure in some past traumatic configuration. The behavior, or even the mere presence of this figure, adds a stress to the unstable balance of forces that results in a sudden, extreme discharge of violence, similar to the explosion that takes place when a percussion cap ignites a charge of dynamite. The hypothesis of unconscious motivation explains why the murderers perceived innocuous and relatively unknown victims as provocative and thereby suitable targets for aggression. But why murder? Most people, fortunately, do not respond with murderous outbursts, even under extreme provocation. The cases described, on the other hand, were predisposed to gross lapses in reality contact and extreme weakness in impulse control during periods of heightened tension and disorganization. At such times, a chance acquaintance or even a stranger was easily able to lose his real meaning and assume an identity in the unconscious traumatic configuration. The old conflict was reactivated and aggression swiftly mounted to murderous proportions. When such senseless murders occur, they are seen to be an end result of a period of increasing tension and disorganization in the murderer starting before the contact with the victim, who, by fitting into the unconscious conflicts of the murderer, unwittingly serves to set into motion his homicidal potential. Because of the many parallels between the background and personality of Perry Smith and the subjects of his study, Dr. Satin feels secure in assigning him to a position among their ranks. Moreover, the circumstances of the crime seem to him to fit exactly the concept of murder without apparent motive. Obviously, three of the murders Smith committed were logically motivated. Nancy, Kenyon, and their mother had to be killed because Mr. Clutter had been killed. But it is Dr. Satin's contention that only the first murder matters psychologically, and that when Smith attacked Mr. Clutter, he was under a mental eclipse, deep inside a schizophrenic darkness, for it was not entirely a flesh-and-blood man he suddenly discovered himself destroying, but a key figure in some past traumatic configuration. His father? The orphanage nuns who had derided and beaten him? The hated army sergeant? The parole officer who had ordered him to stay out of Kansas? One of them, or all of them? In his confession, Smith said, "I didn't want to harm the man. I thought he was a very nice gentleman. Soft-spoken. I thought so right up to the moment I cut his throat." While talking to Donald Cullivan, Smith said, "They, the Clutters, never hurt me. Like other people. Like people have all my life. Maybe it's just that the Clutters were the ones who had to pay for it." So it would appear that by independent paths, both the professional and the amateur analyst reached conclusions not dissimilar.